The topic of this chapter is optics and wave effects. We're going to begin by talking about reflection and refraction, and then we'll talk a little bit about things like diffusion. We'll go on later on, we'll talk about lenses and mirrors, and finally we'll talk about some what are considered physical wave effects, and basically diffraction and interference. We begin with reflection and refraction. And these are sort of the first things you pay attention to when you're talking about optics. They're both based on conservation of energy and conservation of momentum. And you're really pretty familiar with reflection. If you look at, say, a mirror, you see a nice reflection, and you find out that the angle of incidence is equal to the angle of reflection. And these angles are measured from a line perpendicular to the surface. Now, there are sort of two kinds of reflection. They're really the same thing. Okay, there's so-called specular reflection, which is reflection from a smooth surface. That's what you're used to. You're using a mirror. Then there's sort of a diffuse reflection. So think of a window sill that's maybe not real smooth. You see glare coming off of it. Maybe glare coming off the hood of a car. That would be sort of, you might think of it as diffuse reflection. And really, there's not a hard line between the two. So I prefer just to think about it as reflection. Okay. If we think about a ray of light coming in, so just a single ray of light or a beam of light, you could think if you got one of those little cheap laser beams you get from the drugstore or whatever, you can reflect it off of a surface, and you can verify for yourself that the angle of incidence equals the angle of reflection. And again, all that comes from is conservation of energy and momentum. Okay? If you look at a simple picture, you say, well, the incoming ray, it's reflected when it hits the surface, so the component of that incident ray that's perpendicular to the surface, it just reflects. The component that's parallel to the surface, it just keeps going unchanged, and so the combination is you get that reflected ray. One can draw ray diagrams, and I'm not going to make you learn how to do ray diagrams. I don't think that's a skill that you really need, but you should be able to look at the figures and it should make sense. So when you look at a candle, for example, through a mirror, the candle actually looks like if it's a flat mirror, it's the opposite side of the mirror from you, but otherwise pretty much at the same location. So you can see if it was on a table and you put a mirror behind it, it looks like it's still sitting on the table, but it's the same distance behind the mirror is what the image is than what it was in fact in front. Now, let's introduce another term here. That image is a virtual image because no light actually goes to where that image is. The mirror could be on a wall. There's nothing back there but wall. So you know there's no light there. Okay, that would be a virtual image. If the light actually was somehow going through the image, and we'll see that later on, particularly with lenses, it would be a real image. Now, you can see reflected light in a number of ways. You can be out on the water, you can a nice lake, you can see trees along the lake's edge that show up looking like they're pointing down in the reflection. If you look at yourself in a mirror, one of the little effects is that if that top of the mirror is halfway between your eyes and the top of the head, then the mirror would have to, on the bottom end, if it extended to be halfway between your eyes and your feet, so the mirror was exactly half your height, you would just be able to see the top of your head at one part of the mirror and your feet at the other. Okay. We can also talk about refraction. Refraction is really the bending of light as it moves from one medium to another medium. The amount of bending is determined by the index of refraction. Okay, so what is the index of refraction? It's basically the ratio of the speed of light in vacuum divided by the speed of light in medium. Okay? Now, in normal medium, light goes slower than it would in vacuum. Okay, so it's fastest in a vacuum with a speed of 3 times 10 to the 8 meters per second. And if it goes into something like water, it's slower. Glass is usually slower still. A diamond is fairly slow. So let's take a look at some indexes of refraction. So water is 1.33. That means that light travels, about 33% slower in water than in vacuum. Now, the index of refraction of air is very nearly the same as vacuum, so you don't really notice much of an effect. Now, if you go to crown glass, it's about 1.52. Now, think about it. If the speed of light in a medium was exactly half what it was in vacuum, it'd be 1.5 times 10 to the 8 meters per second, so you'd have 3 times 10 to the 8 meters per second divided by 1.5 times 10 to the 8 meters per second, n would equal 2. Okay? So in diamond, which is an index of 2.42, light is traveling a little less than half the speed that it would if it was in vacuum. So that's getting pretty slow. Okay? If you actually look at refraction, the greater the change in index, the greater the amount of refraction. So if you look at the little image that they show in the slide, you see light coming in, and then all of a sudden you see the refracted rays. Okay. If you went from air just through, say, a really thin piece of plastic, then air again, well, the light would pretty much look like it was going straight through. It wouldn't refract. But going into glass, it refracts. Now, I've really talked about how to find the speed of the light in the medium. It really just depends on determining n, okay, or looking up n and then calculating it. We could determine n experimentally by simply measuring the refracted angle, because there's a nice little relationship there. But it's not, again, one that you're going to have to worry about. But you should know that there's a relationship, and you should know that the greater the change in index of refraction, the greater is the angle of refraction. Okay? So there are numerous examples of refraction. Stars twinkling at night. Okay, if you look up at a star is very far away, and it's essentially looks like it's a point of light. Now, coming through the atmosphere, because the atmosphere has varying degrees of thickness, and there's thermals and everything else, there's turbulence, the light appears to twinkle because basically the light refracts and it doesn't make that nice straight path to your eye, but it varies slightly. It takes some little detours. And you see that as twinkling. Now, if you look up in the sky and you see a planet, planets are much smaller than stars. They're also, in the case of the planets we can see at night, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, they're much closer. So when you look at one of those, they don't actually twinkle. And the reason is because they're actually make a bigger angle in the sky for our eye, so it basically covers more than one little optical receptor in the eye. So you don't really see the twinkling. On any given receptor in your eye, it's twinkling, but overall it's not. And then there's mirages. When you look out in the distance, and you can do this on blacktop road, and you can do it obviously out in the desert, if you look far enough out, essentially what you see is that light reflected from the sky is making it to your eyes after basically coming down into the atmosphere. It's basically redirected towards your eyes. So you see blue and you look off in the distance. And it's, in the case of a mirage, it's not a lake, but it's a reflection of the sky. Now, another one is looking at fish underwater. We could even imagine you're in a swimming pool and you're standing up and you're looking at your feet underwater and you say, oh, these feet look bigger to me underwater. That's not really true. If you actually do the calculation, The feet appear closer to you, but they're also appearing smaller by pretty much just enough so that they make the exact cover the exact same angle on your retina underwater as they would have if we removed the water. Okay. So what's going on? Well, basically it has to do with the fact that because, yes, the object has shrank, but yes, it's also closer to you, and your brain also has some distance judging ability, and because the feet are at a different distance from you, your distance judgment gets messed up, and it says, oh, it must be bigger than it is. So it's really an optical illusion. And it's a fun one to play with, because if you can convince yourself of that, you could actually go in the water and you'd convince yourself that your feet, hey, they really are the same size. Now, another phenomena we might want to look at is internal reflection. Okay. This is important because let's say we've got light incident on something like a diamond. Well, when that light is incident on the diamond, it can get trapped inside the diamond and reflect off of multiple surfaces before it escapes. That's part of why a diamond sits there and seems to twinkle. Okay? And there's a nice little sketch of it with a light of the idea on one of your slides with a light source, and it shows that at some angles the light comes out, but eventually you increase the angle of incidence of the light onto the water-air interface. Notice we're measuring from the normal. Okay, so a line drawn normal to the surface, perpendicular to the surface. And when theta exceeds what's called theta critical, all the light gets reflected back down. That's also kind of useful if you're out scuba diving and looking for a boat. You know, if you're looking for the boat because it's time to get out of the water, okay? It doesn't do you any good to look off in the distance. First of all, the things are kind of murky and dim, depending on the water you're in. But secondly, you're not going to see the boat anyway because of the effects of total reflection. So we've talked about internal reflection. We've talked about the diamond. We've talked about light being, well, total internal reflection in terms of being caused by refraction. We need to spend just a minute talking about another issue with light, and that's dispersion. Okay. The basic idea here is that the index of refraction is dependent on the wavelength of light. That is, blue light in a given material has a different index of refraction than red light. Okay, in a vacuum, blue light, red light, microwave light, infrared, ultraviolet, it all travels at the same speed. But anytime you go into some medium, air, plastic, glass, now the index of refraction start varying. Okay. And you can look and say, oh, okay, n is basically the speed of light in vacuum divided by the speed of light in my medium. So the speed of light in my medium is actually wavelength times frequency. We had that earlier. And I can basically modify that because I can use, in place of Cn in my first equation there, I can use lambda f. Okay. So then I get n is basically C divided by, in this case, the product of lambda f. Okay. So we can actually calculate and put in that frequency component. Okay. Now the problem is calculating lambda and calculating f. Again, this is really supposed to be more of a qualitative class, so we're going to try to avoid too many of those kinds of details. But what you should remember is that shorter wavelengths refract more than longer wavelengths. Therefore, shorter wavelengths must experience a higher index of refraction than longer wavelengths. I think I may have said lower wavelengths earlier. I meant longer. So shorter wavelength experience a greater index of refraction than longer wavelengths in the same medium. And that gives us the basically the visible spectrum dispersion through a prism. So it basically gives us a rainbow effect. Okay. We make use of that in something like a diamond, where not only do you have the light going in and going around, but red light will come out at a different rate than blue light. So it gives you this color effect. We can also use something called a spectrometer to break colors up. And when we do that, we can look at line spectra of given elements. So, for instance, sodium has a very unique spectrum from hydrogen, and that's different from neon. And what we find out is that the light isn't necessarily continuous across the visible region of the spectrum, but there are distinct colors that come out. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about atomic physics and quantum type stuff. But for now, that's probably enough on line spectra. Thank you.